It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
People that count on us being a fear. Yep, that's how it works. You know, one thing, we want to go to, I don't know, someplace else. And they're talking about it, you know, in the New York Times. Quote, Mr. Bigelow has spent about $180 million of his own money so far and has said he is willing to spend up to $320 million more. An expansion of the factory will double the amount of floor space as the company begins to transition from research and development to production. You have to trust this quote from Mr. Bigelow. You have to trust a little bit that we're making these investments because we think it's going to make sense economically. At the end of the day, Mr. Bigelow said, doing what? Building space stations. They're in construction, man. Where you been? Oh, yeah, they do that Discovery Channel piece on it yet, have they? No. Why? See, what you'll find is the media does not, you know, do news. They do olds. They do spin on the news, whatever is approved. If it's not by government handout, they're not going to cover it. They're not going to do it, you know, because that's, I don't know, that's how they work. The first space station is going to be called the Sundancer. It's going to be launched in 2014. They've already reserved the space on let's go to Wikipedia because they had something on here about it. They already reserved the space on Falcon 9. Falcon 9 is the launch platform, the rocket that we've been following them. Falcon 1, Falcon 2. You know, they have one engine, two engines. They're going up to nine engines. Now they're going to put, like, I don't know, five of the nine. What was that, 45? You know, rocket engines around. They can just say we're going to go to freaking Mars. You know, they just go, okay. Once we got them, we just keep making more. It's all good. You know, it's kind of like the Soviets had. They had, you know, one central, the payload, and they just put all these different clusters around it. Okay, we can do that too. So they're discontinuing the shuttle thing. You know why? Then they had the Russian resupply ship that was a robot ship going up the International Space Station, and then they couldn't get it to dock just right, and it started spinning off out of control, went off, and they lost it. They're going, that's not good. And that was one of the complaints that they had from the astronauts in the space. Wait a minute. I just want to get this straight. You're going to have a supply ship with nobody in it just going to come here and try and dock with us? Really? Right. We have no control, and we can't get out of the way. Really, that's what you're going to do? Okay. First time they start trying to do that, what happened? It goes spinning off. Now, eventually they got control of it, and it came back, but big freaking deal. You know, I'm like, you know, better y'all than me. I don't want to play that game. So we'll see how this goes, and certainly not with, you know, the government. So what they're doing is they've already reserved time on or space on the Falcon 9 in 2014. They're getting ready to go. Here we go. Now, it was started back in 1998 and funded large part by the fortune of Bigelow. That, you know, he is the owner of the Hotel Train Budget Suites of America. You know, he's already invested $180 million, and I hear reports up here that he's willing to go with an additional $500 million because he sees the future, because he can. It's like, yep, mine. But who's going to stop him? You know, are you allowed to go? Are you really? Well, we're going to find out. You know, so this is amazing. You know, they're going to put in a space hotel. It's called CSS Skywalker, Commercial Space Station Skywalker. is a 2005 concept when they first came up with this space hotel by Bigelow Aerospace. That's why they're doing this research. They're going to Lagrange 1, which is the center of the gravity well between the Earth and the Moon. There's a bunch of different ones of these that, you know, where you have not that much fuel to keep you in position. You're not having to reposition yourself all the time. And you can fall from this point, you fall towards Earth or you fall towards the Moon. You know, it's a gravity central kind of place. So Lagrange 1, they want to go there first, I think. Then you have Skywalker is designed to be composed of multiple Nautilus habitat modules. Now, these modules are these inflatable modules that they have, you know, and they have a lot of space and so on, and they have a hub that they go to, and you just mass produce these things and just start shipping them up there. Yeehaw! You know, once they're all built here, you know, so it's once you get up there, it's just like, boom, push the button, poof, done, let's go. I'm going to go to a hotel. We're going to have us some zero-grav SpaceX or whatever. You know, you can imagine what, I don't know, if you got enough money, you can go do whatever you want, wherever you want, which would be inflated and connected upon reaching orbit. An MDPM, multi-directional propulsion module, would allow the Skywalker to be moved into interplanetary or lunar trajectories. As of 2009, Bigelow is continuing to develop a variety of space hotel architectures. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. They have Genesis 1, the flight date, you know, it started in 2006, then in July, and then Genesis 2, it was launched in June 28, 2007. It's successful, it's in orbit, it's doing great. Then he had Galaxy, which was the third one, is going, they canceled it. Why? Because the other two answered all their questions. It was good. Why the heck are you? All right, fine. We're going to go straight to Sundancer. We don't need to do Galaxy because we already got it. It works. There was nothing we needed to fix. And we're going straight to Sundancer in BA-330, which is the name of it. So I'm going, here we go. I keep telling you guys, man, we're going to space. But they're not marketing. Of course, it's out. You know, anybody that's interested in space travel and so on, they're all over this. They're like already booking it. Heck, Spaceship Two with Richard Branson from Virgin Airlines that started Virgin Galactic along with Burt Rutan. You know, Scale Composites is his company that built Spaceship One and now Spaceship Two. They're selling tickets already to watch the Northern Lights from space. Okay. You know, one of the first guys? Who's the first guy? Did you guys know? You guys know? You know who it is? William Shatner, Captain Kirk from the Enterprise. Of course you got to have him on the first commercial passenger space travel of Spaceship 2. Yeah, you know, I wonder if he's going to do it. I know what. Oh, I can't believe this. Of course they are. I bet you they do a Priceline.com commercial in space. You know, they'll be selling trips in Priceline.com. Get a discount. It's only $100,000. Yep. Now, how does this play into what I want to talk to you today? I mean, you know, this is interesting enough, you would imagine. There's a lot of stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. There's so much stuff. I can't possibly talk about all the stuff that is there in one show. You just can't. I mean, just weird, stupid stuff. I mean, I give you one weird, stupid thing. I'll tell you this before we go to the break. Because I got, you know, there's a thing called Five Monkeys. It's a YouTube. And what it is just how you condition people into not doing stuff, or it's the law or whatever. And you don't even know why. You know, it's just because that's the way it's always been. And it's just this five monkey experiment that they do. I want to talk about that. And it's really going to open your eyes. But one of the things I just wanted to make sure I got in the show today, because I got after the morning show, somebody called me to tell me about this. And I'm like, oh, man. Bob Barr was the Libertarian nominee for president for the Libertarian Party. He was also a lot of controversy, him getting that, because a lot of libertarians are like, are you kidding me? He's ex-CIA, a congressman, drug warrior, Defense of Marriage Act. I mean, all this kind of stuff that, you know, the federal prosecutor, he was definitely not libertarian. The conservative thing, they were trying to take over deal, and it's still continuing, and everybody's like, yeah, whatever. What happened is that Andrew Thomas is the county attorney here in Maricopa County, and he resigned to run for Arizona State Attorney General because the current one is now running for governor. So he resigns as county attorney, goes there. Over the years, in the past 15 years or so, you've had this fight between Sheriff Arpaio and the Board of Supervisors, which are five elected panel of the county. The county attorney at the time, back in the day, was a guy named Rick Romley, and he's known as, you know, a staunch conservative, you know, crusader type, you know, respect my authority and I'll do whatever. At least he's kind of following this, you know, law constitution thing. I mean, he kind of shut down Arpaio wanting to do a lot of just random car checks of everybody, and he's going to, you know, this checkpoint please kind of thing. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, now that's becoming the norm now. Well, Andrew Thomas, when Rick Romley resigned, he didn't run for re-election. He was thinking of running for governor, and I don't think he did. But Andrew Thomas won as county attorney. Well, he's of the same mind as Arpaio. We're going to – we got a hammer, man. We're going to use enforcement for everything. We're going to get all the Mexicans going, you know, whatever, and just, you know, hardcore. And the law – the legal community has got, man, this guy is damn. You know, it really goes after anybody using a gun for anything, that kind of stuff. Well, he resigns, goes off, you know, he's running for attorney general. So what happens? The county board of supervisors appoints Rick Romley back. So now they're like, you know, oh, we want to see all the paperwork and a bunch of stuff, Arpaio. We're going after you. So what does Arpaio and Thomas do? They hired Bob Barr to be their expert witness. Get the libertarians on their side. And we're all going, what the heck? That's going to be news in the future. You watch. But I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about something else.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And just another talk show host out of Phoenix. That's right. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, there are so many things that we could go on about. I mean, it's just on. It's over and over and over. I mean, there's so much stuff every day. You got to go to freedomsphoenix.com. Because there's no way. That's how Freedoms Phoenix really got its going the way it's structured here. We've been thinking about this for years, but... You know, I knew how the system really worked. If you wanted to penetrate the matrix, you wanted to get your bullet point, de la talking points of the day for lazy talk show hosts that don't do any real activism or anything. They just need something put in front of them. What am I supposed to say? And it's the same issue for every talk show. You know, hundreds of talk show hosts across the country because it's the same thing that was on Drudge Report or something. I mean, you know, that's how it's done. I go, all right, you guys want to play that game? We'll play, you know, Freedom's Phoenix. And we used to have ads in Talker Magazine, Industry Magazine. You know, you got all the Sean Hannitys and Rush Limbaughs and all these guys promoting their shows in there, you know, wanting affiliates to pick them up and doing all that kind of crap. And we have ads in there, and it'd say, Freedom's Phoenix, top producer's tool. Be at least as informed as your audience. You know, so we have a couple of thousand media that, and a lot of talk show hosts that use Freedom's Phoenix as their base for information and things to talk about. I don't do it as much as a lot of other hosts around the country do because, I mean, go there and get it your dang self. We're talking more about, I don't know, whatever I want to talk about because I can't. But the thing is that, you know, we do a lot of activism. Well, they're not going to be talking about that because they don't do anything. They just talk about what other people did and, you know, the spin on it. But there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, Time Magazine, U.S. missiles deployed near China, send a message. I mean, how many shows can you do on that? You know, U.S. to access Europeans' bank data in New Deal. They're making some kind of deal, but you know, how long are you going to spend on that? Australia halts web filter plan ahead of polls because, you know, we have the elections going on in Australia, and they're starting to want, they want to filter what websites you can get access to. Australian government doing that. They've already done tests and so on. People are like, what the heck? So they go, you know what? We'll do that after the election. You know, flights divert. You know, I'll talk about that one later. Well, I'll let you know now. Flights diverted, delayed as UFO detected hovering in China. A China airport, they diverted all the flights. And so they got this UFO just sitting there hovering. They got video of it. Hear a lot about that in the media, did you? You know, they're sitting there going, we will have an official report and our stance on whatever we can think we can get away with a few days from now. UFO sitting right there. Bzz. I mean, you know, and people are like, I don't know, I'm not blind. There's a videotape. There it is right there. You know, then what? And I want you to know whatever the heck it was. I mean, was it a military thing or going to say it was or what? They're not telling you because they, you know, we don't know what the heck we're going to say yet. Okay, you know, so it's, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. You have New York woman, you know, question again and again over an ID mix-up. You know, for some reason, she had a border crossing in New York with Canada, I think it was, and they got her handcuffed in front of her kids, and they unhandcuffed her, then handcuffed her, and then they, you know, it's just like, I mean, okay, that's where we're at. You know, that could be a whole show going on about that. And we got a lot of physics stuff going. Video documentary, We Will Not Be Silenced. You know, this is on election fraud and so on. And there's a bunch of election fraud stuff coming up again. We got Bev Harris on day after tomorrow here on the show. You know, black box voting. You know, that's going to be of substantial interest. There's an internal thing that's going on, you know, I don't think it's so much anti-Ron Paul as much as it is the campaign for liberty and how the Republican Party being used and doing with that. And Rand Paul, his son, kind of, you know, fuzzing on the edges, you know, wants to get elected for U.S. Senate. One of 100 senators in this country. That's a powerful position. So, you know, how many rings you got to kiss? Well, you know, a lot of the activists, they're going off on it. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on it. It's up there. You know, you go see, I saw a rant that they did, and they call it Soapbox Idol in at Porkfest up in Pennsylvania, I mean, in New Hampshire up there. And I'm like, dang, man, natives be restless. They are paying attention to kind of things that are being done, playing politics. And these guys are hardcore, no compromise young people. They can tell when you're BSing them, and they just went off. You know, so that's up to y'all. You can go look at that. Americans' credit scores sinking to new lows. Yeah, you know, that's it. You know, yeah, it's still coming. We got all kinds of stuff about the oil spill in the Gulf. We got, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Oh, we have video of the last minutes, 26 minutes in overtime for the Spain winning the World Cup. You know, 1-0. I watched quite a bit of that yesterday while it was on. We were out and about and doing different stuff, and wherever there was a TV, we were watching that. So that was interesting. You know, gets a video of that, the last score, the scoring of that. That was a big buildup. Around the world, soccer is huge. That is, I mean, you know, that's huge. I asked one gentleman we were having dinner with. He's from Austria, and he goes, "Hey, man, you know, you have to go to a mental hospital if you're not a big soccer fan. I mean, you know, that's the only sport there is." And I'm going, "Oh, isn't there some other sport?" He goes, "In the winter, they're skiing." So that's a big deal. Biometric entry planned for California skate park. You know, they have these parks, you know, you go and do skateboarding and, you know, your bicycle stuff and everything. Yep, you want to get in here, this public skate park. You know, things are definitely getting out of hand when you start reading articles like this. The city of Poway in California is going to introduce biometric scans of skaters to allow or disallow entry in the skate park. You know, I guess a fingerprint or something. Okay, here we go. Marines, another California, Marines train by embedding with the Los Angeles Police Department. A tough-talking, muscular Los Angeles police sergeant steadily rattled off tips to a young Marine riding shotgun as they raced in a patrol car to a drug bust. Be aware of your surroundings. Watch body language. Build rapport. You know, this is, you know, we got Marines and LAPD training together. I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy about that one. You know, how long could you talk about that? Climate Gate. Whitewash continues. Last November, there was a worldwide outcry when a trove of emails were released suggesting some of the world's leading climate scientists engaged in professional misconducts, data manipulation, and jiggering of both the science literature and climate data. You know, this was, you know, this becomes a big deal. Heck, it's in the Wall Street Journal. You know, they had a University of Arizona here. They had, you know, they got hold of these emails of these scientists, knowing that they're massaging and screwing around with the data. There's liars, damn liars, and statisticians. I mean, this is what they were doing. They knew. It doesn't matter. You know, and then when it comes out that they knew, you see in the media, anybody talking about it? Anybody doing anything? No, because it doesn't support the agenda. You know, and the graphic one of the staff used for that was really good. You have Al Gore, you know, sitting there, and he's got this pendulum, like, you know, they used a gold watch to hypnotize you so you go to sleep. And what he's holding is, you know, the earth on a string. And he's like, you're feeling warmer. That's what's going on. It's, you know, so if this doesn't work, what do they do? Well, we need a carbon tax and, you know, cap and trade or whatever the heck it is, because we've got an oil leak in the Gulf. You know, the government, you know, will pinky swear protect you more this time as long as you give them a global tax. Okay. Many soldiers have deployed to Afghanistan several times, and it's going in about, you know, we are just screwing these people up, man. Their heads are going to be, and it's Vietnam all over again. You know, it's like, you know, going to the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan. You know what it is? It's Vietnam without the humidity. That's what it is. You know, you think he had, you know, messed up people from before. You know what? We're going to, you know, like, redeem ourselves with what? With what? Good movies? I mean, they're already starting to come out. You know, say, oh, yeah, we were bad. It was, all the time. They're spending money on, you know, 143 million pounds for a unmanned, you know, British pound. So that means about more. Be like, you know, $160 million, $200 million for an unmanned stealth jet that will hit targets in another continent. You know, more robots. You know, maybe we need bigger robot planes. NATO denies the Taliban's getting stronger as the tolls mount and the deaths, you know, against allied troops, or whatever you want to call them. Department of Homeland Security is delivering job offers on pizza boxes. The end of the census is coming. 700,000 people are going to hit the unemployment rolls that were given census, doing census taking. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But there's something else I want to talk about, because I can. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where you go get all kinds of goodies, and the archives of this show. Now, the one where I want to focus now is that there are a lot of things. I really, really am just so, what's the word? Frustrated, disappointed, angry. I'm not sure what the word is, but I mean, think about it. You know, in 1968, I think it was, Star Trek came out. At the time, that means I was probably about 7 years old. That was the one thing that my father and I had in common. We said, ooh, man, it's Star Trek time. Yeehaw. Now, a lot of people don't know. I think they only did 3 years or so of that. There was 60 episodes, I think. Maybe they did a little longer. And it became such a big thing in syndication. It was just, I mean, my whole life I've been watching old Star Treks. Then they had Next Generation. Then they did Voyager and Deep Space Nine. And then you got the Enterprise series. And then you had all the movies. And just, I mean, it's just, and then they started the new movie. I'm like, oh, that was a good movie. And, you know, what are they going to do? What are they going to start off with? They got a whole new timeline now. They started a whole new timeline. So now you're, because Spock came back in time, changed everything, it's all a new thing. You know, Spock's like, you know, making out with Uhura and stuff. I'm like, ooh. So then you got, what's the next one going to be? They're going to do a redo of Wrath of Khan, because they find Khan out in space. You know, a lot of you guys don't know. It doesn't matter. But, you know, I've been my entire life, you were, you know, imagining all these kinds of things. You're looking forward to, well, of course, you got all kinds of data on little, you know, cards called floppy disks, or not even floppy, little cards that Spock would go around and put it in their computer working, you know, yep. Flying around speed of light, faster than speed of light, warp speed, you know, replicators, transporters, and then a bunch of all kinds of computer goodies. And, you know, communicators, phasers, on and on and on and on. So our imagination just kind of started filling in the blanks. A lot of this stuff. I remember there was a Discovery or History Channel episode they did on, and it was Spock and, or well, it was William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy did a thing on the influence that Star Trek, the series, had on a lot of the gadgets that we have now. You know, your iPhone or whatever. It was just because people grew up going, yeah, that's what I want. I could use it. I need it. You know, I got technology. I'll make it. And they did. So I feel that I've been cheated out of my Jetsons lifestyle. You know, the ability to have inexpensive, whether it's high-tech, low-tech, doesn't really matter, inexpensive energy, transportation, the freedom to do all kinds of stuff, different materials, the application of all kinds, because there's always somebody with a shiny badge saying what I can and can't do. You know, I with this space travel starting to go, man, I mean, we're going to, you know, we have enough space stations up there. Sooner or later, the air dock's going to start getting a Mr. Alien want to talk to, you know, land shark. You know, take me to your leader. I mean, whatever. You know, is that going to happen? I don't know. I'm willing to find out. it's my space station. I do what I want. Well, some guys are doing that. But there is something that's preventing us from doing it. What is it? There's a mindset. I put it up on today's archive, and it's on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today, and it's called Five Monkeys. What happens, I'm going to describe the experiment a little bit because you're not able to see the animation, but it explains it pretty well. They have five monkeys. They put them in, or chimps or whatever. They put five monkeys in a cage. Okay, you got these little primates in there. In the middle of the cage, they put a flight of stairs. It's just like some stairs like you would have that go up to on the tarmac to an airplane. You know, it kind of wheels up the stairs there to get up in the airplane. So they put that there so that it's up, you know, towards the top of the cage, and they lower a banana on a rope to suspend it from thread, rope, whatever, that, you know, is hanging above that. So, of course, what do? You get up on the stairs, you go up, you get the banana, I win. Well, as soon as any monkey gets up on the first step, boom, they turn on cold water. They, whoa, man, they don't like that. You know, monkeys, man, they don't like being sprayed with cold water. That sucks. So anytime a monkey would, you know, go up the stair, boom, they spray him. They start going up the side of the cave, boom, they spray him. So anybody that would, you know, they just like, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. And then how do they condition them for the future of what they'll do? Go ahead and give this a listen. You'll understand how I'm going to apply this to the laws and what's going on now.
Start with a cage containing five monkeys. Inside the cage, hang a banana on a string and place a set of stairs under it. Before long, a monkey will go to the stairs and start to climb towards the banana. As soon as he touches the stairs, all of the monkeys are sprayed with cold water. After a while, another monkey makes an attempt with the same result. All the monkeys are sprayed with cold water. Pretty soon, none of the monkeys will try to climb the stairs. Now, put away the cold water. Remove one monkey from the cage and replace it with a new one. The new monkey sees the banana and wants to climb the stairs. To his surprise and horror, all of the other monkeys attack him. After another attempt and attack, he knows that if he tries to climb the stairs, he will be assaulted. Next, remove another of the original five monkeys and replace it with a new one. The newcomer goes to the stairs and is attacked. The previous newcomer takes part in the punishment with enthusiasm. Likewise, replace a third original monkey with a new one, then a fourth, then a fifth. Every time the newest monkey takes to the stairs, he is attacked. Most of the monkeys that are beating him have no idea why they were not permitted to climb the stairs or why they are participating in the beating of the newest monkey. After replacing all the original monkeys, none of the remaining monkeys have ever been sprayed with cold water. Nevertheless, no monkey ever again approaches the stairs to try for the banana. Why not? Because as far as they know, that's the way it's always been done around here. And that is how government policy is maintained.
Wow. How simple is that? You support laws that you have no freaking idea why. You know, heck, people don't even, you're conditioned not even to ask why. You'll, even before you even ask why or what the justification was, you'll start conjuring up reasons why. Well, of course it's a law because, let me think for a second, and you make up some reason. You do all their work for them. It's just conditioning. Why do you think it is that they have put the fire hoses on the civil rights demonstrations? Why do you think it is that you go into G20 and you're complaining? They start because they keep thinking that this is how it works, and usually they're right. But what if you have humanity always breaks out? There's always the one, the Neo, somebody wants to wake up from the Matrix, and then they gather with other people that do the same thing, and either one or two things happen. You know, they just, you know, try and get away from it. They just ignore it, or they go and challenge it, and usually they're just part of the problem. You know, they go in and challenge and violence and doink the man, and it just, you know, creates theater, and it gives a sense of a release, a steam valve for somebody's resisting, and then they use it as a demonstration of this is what happens when you do it, so that you don't even thinking about doing it, and you know, yada yada yada. It's all about psyop control, been going around for thousands of years. They got the playbook off of, I don't know, some pharaoh or something. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, this is so, it's human nature. How much do you think we've changed over the last 10,000 years? You know, there's not like a code book, you know, the secret handshake people that, you know, kind of figured it out. And if they haven't, you know, I'm seriously, of course they have. How do you think they get to be in charge? You know, because they know what buttons to push. But then there, every now and then, there's always people that, you know, no, I'm not playing. And they got their own reasons for doing it or something. And even if they're successful, you know, then they'll come in and promise whatever they need to get you back on the plantation anyway. I'll give you an example. Declaration of Independence, the American Revolution. And a lot of people argue that even the revolution was just because, you know, some people didn't want to be told what to do by other people, so they could tell their, you know, either do it themselves or they could be in charge and tell other people what to do, whatever, what difference it make. They go, we don't want to play with you anymore. We're done. So they go, okay, I guess, you know, okay. And then here comes, you know, a decade later or something, here comes the Constitution, put you back on the plantation again. You know, we're going to, why? Because that's the way it's done, boy. Then you know there's always somebody in charge, a somebody. You know, a big giant collective somebody. We can take away your land, eminent domain. We can regulate all commerce, you know, the interstate commerce clause. We can tax, you know, anybody to do anything. Oh, and by the way, when you say we can't do that, you know, you did this Bill of Rights thing, you know, got us, you know, all you damn libertarians of the day, got us to do this anti-federalist. All right, here's your Bill of Rights. You know, we won't do these things. Congress shall make no law doing whatever. You know, and then who's going to judge whether it was okay or not? Oh, we got our own guys in black robes that we pay to, you know, to say it was okay. Wow, man, what a rigged system. So how does this apply? They will pass law. They, them, those, ones that won't leave us alone. They pass laws, you know, even a smidgen of a thread of justification of whatever they can just come up with, and then beat the living snot out of somebody that tries to, you know, get outside the box. Hey, man, you know, there's a banana right there. Hey, there's freedom outside our atmosphere. Hey, there's an entire universe. I'm just going to go out and, you know, screw y'all. No. And what will happen? You know, they'll go after somebody. There'll be audits. There'll be, you're not allowed. I remember when they were first doing the Onassari X Prize, which was a $10 million prize for the first person to put a civilian in space without any government money. That's what Spaceship One was all about. You know, the weight of three people. You know, it was like 600-pound payload, and it had to have a guy in it. All right, so there they go. And then you had to redo it again within 14 days and not change the weight of the fuel-empty spacecraft more than 10%. So it had to be a reusable spacecraft, and you get to refuel it. So they did. They come up with an easy Japanese design, man. Woo, we're just going to go up, go down, we're done. Do it again. We went. Give me the money. So when they went the first time, senior editor Pal Gamble and I, we went. We made a bunch of signs, and the most famous one was Spaceship One, Government Zero. Burt Rutan liked that one. He still got it. So we understood what was happening. We're reaching for the banana. So what were they, you know, they got to come down somehow. What are they going to do? Well, you know, they can entice you, give you other bananas, you know, here on the ground, government contracts, you know, that kind of thing. Or they can just slap you around. And some of these guys, they were begging the airport there. They had a liaison to the government that was begging for regulation. They go, we want to have permission to go up. And they go, well, we don't have a permit. You know, it's like a flight plan. File a flight plan like you do any other plane. Go. Have a nice day. And they go, no. We need a permission slip because that's the mindset they're in. They're explaining this to me. You know, this guy from the airport. And I'm sitting there, you know, it's just everybody's having a good time. It's a big party. We're in the hangar, you know, holding up the signs. It's all great. And he's all proud of himself because he was the one that went and was the liaison from the airport there, the Mojave little airport there, to the government. And I go, well, why? And he goes, well, I needed, you know, permission. From who? For what? Burt Rutan had flown Voyager around the planet nonstop. It's in the Smithsonian right now. It was 9 days, I think, that they took and they flew this thing around the globe on one tank of gas nonstop. Well, all he did, he made a big deal out of it in the 80s when Reagan was president. He got the Medal of Freedom and all this kind of stuff. And one of the big points Burt Rutan made, he goes, you know, this was cool. He goes, all we needed was an airworthiness sticker, you know, a tail number and a flight plan, and we went. Have a nice day. Boom, we're gone. Yep. You know, Vulcan deal. See when you come around the other side. Done. Done. America, great. Done. No bureaucracy saying I can't. You know, once I leave U.S. airspace, it's all good. No, heck no. It's not like that anymore. Oh, no. We got, you know, terrorism and, you know, Homeland Security and Patriot Acts and all this kind of crap. And you think they're just going to let you go to space? I knew better than that. You see Astronaut Farmer, the movie? What? Seriously? The Bruce Willis character is going to... was it Billy Thornton character? He goes, You think they're just going to let you go up and make them look stupid? Well, they're already looking stupid. Why do you think Obama is like shutting down NASA? Look, we can get all this privately. It's a lot cheaper. We can't keep up the facade anymore. So they just keep trying to come up with bigger, better, whatever the heck. You know, we're going to go to Mars or something. We have right now the opportunity to make sure that we have the ability to make people see where we're going. Where are we going? Away. They don't want you to go away. They don't want you to be able to just leave. So I see the banana. The banana's right there. The banana is just, you know, I just want to take it. They want to socially and economically engineer you in such a way that you do not feel that you can just take a banana. And you'll get people around you beating you because you're reaching for a banana. Monkeys in the cage that, you know, have been punished. They've been slapped around. They're getting, you know, theirs. You know, they go, no. They might come after us and beat us for you wanting to be free. Okay. So what we're going to go ahead and do is advocate that, you know, we should be able to, you know, me eating that banana didn't bother you or you care. So now we're in a situation to where humanity is going to the stars. How are we going to advocate for that to continue? How are we going to have a culture that applauds that again? You know, it's just by doing it. Who's saying no all the time now? Bert Rutan goes around the world with a flight number and a, you know, an airworthiness number on the tail of the aircraft and a flight plan. Boom, he's going around the world, Voyager, nonstop. Goes to the Smithsonian. Going to space, not a freaking word in the media, hardly. Why? What the heck is going on? You reach for the banana, and you'll get punished. Sure as heck aren't getting supported. You aren't getting any media. Why? The government didn't issue a press release. The government didn't say, you know, slap you on the back and say good job. You know, you're not getting all kinds of accolades from you. You're not being man of the year. You have Bigelow Aerospace putting space stations in orbit. It's going to be hotels. You think they might talk about it? You know, in, I think it was 2001, the space station, I think it was a Hilton. I think there was a Hilton logo in there somewhere. I can't remember. But I see where this is going. You know, we are going to space and government's not invited, but they will invite themselves because they have that type of mentality. That which is not forbidden is required. You know, or that which is, you know, not required is forbidden. I mean, you know, what you want to look at. So I can understand, you know, what's coming by just track record of how they are. They, them, those that won't leave us alone. And what they fear more than anything else is us understanding that we don't need them. What happens when humanity starts going to the star? We have the technology that you can have, you know, large space stations that, you know, spin and provide gravity. You're growing your own crops in there. Heck, you can even have livestock. You know, Bigelow's been doing research on different kinds of materials that they make for how it's made. You know, the schedule is that they're going 2014. They're launching their first space station. They're even skipping their third test module because the first two did so well. They're going, heck, we're just going straight to the station. We're going to put it up. By 2015, the station will be available for client use. They're starting leasing out space for people for recreation, experiments, and manufacture. Bigelow Aerospace astronauts arrive in a commercial crew capsule to set up Sundancer and to bring in supplies. This is the second stage after they, you know, first launched the first one. Then, you know, they have the supplemental power bus and a docking node arrive. You know, they just got to have the power, so it's going to be solar and batteries. You know, then the Sundancer 2. Sundancer is one of the modules that they have, one of the standard modules that they have. They have a second one comes, the second crew. And then the BA-330 is what they call the big one. Then the big one comes, and each one of these can put, you know, for short term, you got, you know, six people, you know, for short term. The three people, six people for short term, three people long term in each one of the smaller ones, and six people long term for the bigger one. So how many is that? They have four of these they put in. That's like, you know, a lot more than the space station, the International Space Station. And this is 130 miles higher in orbit. I bring this up a lot because it's not just as interesting. Not only is it, you know, it takes us out of jurisdiction of, it's interesting that the news doesn't report it. I mean, you'll see. I mean, they'll throw you a bone. You know, what's one of the announcements? When was this done? New York Times. New York Times writes a thing on, hey, you know, here they come. But it's not just in space. These modules are for, you put on the lunar surface, on Mars. But they need a rocket ship, a private rocket ship, to be able to take it up. That's what Falcon 9 is all about. We've been following the launches of Falcon 1 and the testing of Falcon 2. Falcon 9, all it is just, you know, more engines, nine engines. Then they just put a whole bunch of them, like I think five of them, around the outside of the ship. So now we got 45 engines, and they can go to freaking Mars. Not later. Now. They even got a button for careers. Career listing, online application for Bigelow Aerospace. You know, analog power supply engineer, avionics hardware engineer, building and grounds maintenance, chief of security, docking systems, electrical engineer hardware, electrical engineer hardware manager, electrical engineer power, RF communications, blah, 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 blah. They got, you know, 34 positions sit here that they need people to go help them build the dang thing. They're expanding. They doubled their work space in the manufacturing because they're going from research to production. Right, not later. Send resumes to Bigelow Aerospace, 1899 West Brooks Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 89032. Fax your resume to 702-639-0881. Not later, now. Heard anything about it? Where else do you hear about this stuff? I could go all day on just any one of the stories here on, you know, Freedom's Phoenix, and it's just, you know, more and more Americans preparing for social unrest. What did we talk about in the first hour and a half? Just, you know, we have an expert on gardening. Because, I mean, heck, I can garden in space. Maybe we can. So one of the things, Bigelow Aerospace, one of their first clients is going to be, you know, in biotech, because what they found out in zero gravity, you know, those things that we don't even know how they react. I'll give you an example. Seeds and people, you have a lot of genes that are inactive, you know. In plants, when you start to germinate and they start growing in zero gravity or microgravity, they express all their genes. I mean, you get all kinds of funky, oh my goodness, whatever the heck this plant was. I thought it was a tomato plant. It was a minute ago. And, you know, they start to express all their genes when they don't have the gravity. That's, you know, you have the sun that makes it go up, the roots go down. They do, you know, all of a sudden, all kinds of different genes in the seeds start to express themselves that have been dormant, or they aren't used anymore, or evolution has caused them to whatever. So they don't even know what the heck, you know, even regular seeds, what happened to them when you take them out of the magnetic field, or you take them out of the gravity of the earth. That's just one of the things. Experiment. How many seeds we got? Tens of thousands of different kinds of seeds? I mean, I don't even know how many. A lot. Let's put it that way. That's just one of the things. I'm of the opinion that humanity has how like an angel. I mean, we are going to be very, very surprised when we finally shed off government, and it's coming. You'll have all kinds of some kind of agreements between people, but they'll be voluntary, and they won't be, you know, justified by threats of force or with force. That's going to go away. And when that does, you know, where will we be? I don't know, but I'm telling you this, man. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. It's coming. And I just want you to be aware of this, because a lot of times, you know, the audiences that spend a lot of time on the archives are younger. They're younger people. They know that. They're like, cool. Yeah, what he said. But they're not so much worrying about, you know, like I need to give them permission or anything or even make them worry. They already know this stuff. They're on the internet. All the, anything that's cool like this, man, they're all over it. They already know. They got it, man. They got it going on. So where are we at? You know, you can humanity, you know, marches on. You can fight for it or you can fight against it. What side are you going to be on? I already know there's going to be guillotine lines. Back, you know, when the natives get really restless, they're going to be lining them up. You know, and I'm just like, hey, I don't want to be pulling the lever or anything, but I sure as heck don't want to be in the line. So I'm just like over here, hey man, I just, you know, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You know, I think it needs to be peaceful. But what do you do with the people that have so abused? And it's not that many. I mean, how many thousands of 6 billion people? How many thousands is it that really control everything or rule you? How many thugs are there that control? I don't know. But they cannot stop us. Humanity marches on. You know, we will always triumph over evil. And how do you define evil? You know, of course we're triumphed over evil, you know, but you got to know what it is. You know, it's those that won't leave you alone. Those that, I mean, whatever their excuse, I don't care. Whatever their reasoning is, whatever their excuse is to make you do something or prevent you from doing something. If you're not bothering anybody, it's just destructive to you. Or if it's even destructive, it might be, you know, totally their opinion. You know, you want to know how to recognize who the bad guys are? They're the ones that won't leave you alone, that are doing everything they can to keep you from reaching for the banana. It's right there. They don't want you to get the banana. Why? I don't know. Because they can. Now, you can too. A little cold water never hurt anybody.
Thanks, Ernie. I'll have that third hour up soon.
Yeah, but what the heck was that? I just went right through the break. There was no rejoinder. I'm just yakking for 3 minutes off air.
Shouldn't have.
You know, there was no break. You know, this last time I'm going 3 minutes. All of a sudden I'm looking up. It's 47. I came back without any rejoining. I went out with just yakking. I came back yakking. Right.
Let me see if it didn't. It said that it played the bump outs, right?
Take a look. 44 to 47. I bet you it's just there's no break. Me just yakking in there.
Okay. I'll check it. I got to connect to Jesse real quick. Do you want me to call you?
I'm going to have to manually whatever. All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay. We'll see you.